like to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. I've been looking at the first commandment, which is, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." See, some of the requirements of this command, of course, is to know God. You cannot possibly keep this command unless you know the Lord. You have to know Him so you know that you're not putting anything ahead of Him. So the command requires a knowledge of God. The most obvious, of course, is that it requires that God have the preeminence. And this, of course, is taught throughout the Scriptures. God must always, not just on certain days, not just under certain circumstances, but God is to always have the preeminence. As we've said, there is nothing that is to compete with God. Whatever it is, it can be people, it can be anything. Nothing is to compete with the Lord. And when we find that to be so in our lives, that there's something that is competing with God, we need to realize right then and there that in our hearts we have broken the first command. So we need to, as Brother Charlie was just talking about, we need to repent. So God must have the preeminence. We began to look last week at what that means. It means, of course, God is to be first. He's never, ever to be next. He's always to be first. It's not a matter of what is convenient to you and I. It's not a matter of what you and I deem beneficial. He is to be first, never second, never next. What this means is that God must be recognized as master above all else. We saw that last week. He must be reverenced and esteemed above all else. And if He is reverenced and esteemed above all else, and that requires a knowledge of God, if He is reverenced and esteemed above all else, you will not put anything ahead of Him. We put something ahead of Him because we give that thing or person at that moment more reverence, more esteem. We deem it more important at that moment. How can there ever be a time when something or somebody is more important than the Lord? So it may, to have to, for God to be first means that He is reverenced and esteemed above all else, means that He's loved above all else. Again, if He's reverenced and esteemed above all else, and that reverence comes from our knowledge of Him, the more you know Him, the more you reverence Him, the more you love Him. And again, if we put something ahead of God, at that moment, we're not loving God above whatever it is that we put ahead of Him. It means that God's to be desired above all else. Once again, if we reverence and esteem Him, we'll desire Him. If we love Him, we'll desire Him. You see, if we don't desire Him above all else, the desire, of course, is not the root problem. The root problem is there's a lack of reverence, there's a lack of esteem, there's a lack of knowledge, there's a lack of love for the Lord. Because if those things are in place, you will desire Him. How can you not desire Him if those things are in place? So when it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," that means He's to be desired above all else. Even when we are struggling with God or this. The very fact, and perhaps we don't go to this, we go to God. But the very fact that we struggled demands repentance, because we didn't desire Him. So we're always breaking the commands. It means that God's to be acknowledged above all else. Proverbs chapter 3, we're to acknowledge God in all our ways. To acknowledge God is to give God the credit. It's to recognize God. Oh, I sure was lucky. You've just broken the first command. Just by that statement. Well, you know what I meant. No, I really don't. We're to acknowledge God. He's to get the glory. He's to get the praise. Not people. God. We're to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. He's to be chosen above all else. Now, of course, if all these other things are in line, you will choose God above all else. If you love God above all else, it's not difficult to choose Him above all else. If you reverence and esteem Him above all else, it's natural that you're going to choose Him above all else. He's to be trusted above all else. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. We trust in something rather than God, that is breaking the first commandment. People can depend on their bank accounts, they can depend on their job, they can depend on the government, and on it goes. But He's to be trusted above all else. And if we don't, then we've broken the first commandment. He's to be surrendered to above all else. If we surrender to anything else, we have placed that thing or that person ahead of God. He's to be served above all else. He's to be thanked above all else. He's to be praised above all else. He's to be worshipped above all else. Why? Goes back to the preface, I am the Lord thy God. And because He is the Lord our God, He is to be recognized as Master above all. Because He is the Lord our God, He's to be reverenced and esteemed and loved and desired above all. Because He's the Lord our God, He's to be acknowledged and chosen and trusted above all. He's to be surrendered to above all. It all goes back to, I am the Lord thy God. He is to be served above all, thanked, praised, and worshipped above all. So the first commandment requires God to have the preeminence. And as we've said, all the commandments of the ten, there's a requirement and there's also a prohibition. In every command, something is required, something is prohibited. And we certainly have not covered, nor are we capable, of everything that is required in the first commandment. You see, people have a tendency to look very shallow at these things. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. And unless they've carved out an image of God, a likeness of God, they don't think they've broken the first commandment. As long as they have not denied Him completely. But nothing could be further from the truth. But there are some things that are forbidden here in the first command. And one of them is atheism. Immediately, people say, I'm innocent. I'm not an atheist. Atheism is forbidden in the first commandment. How do you figure that? Well, when you deny God, something is always put in His place. The atheist who denies God puts something else in God's place. Humanism. What does humanism put in the place of God? Humans. The mind of man. That's a breaking of the first commandment. Now, there are different forms of atheism. But I believe all forms of atheism are forbidden in the first commandment. Whatever the form of atheism, something has been put in the place of God. And therefore, the first commandment is broken. There is, again, consider three different forms of atheism. There is an absolute, speculative atheism. That is simply the denial that there is a God. Again, such will always result in putting something in the place of God. So, absolute atheism, of course, is forbidden in the first commandment. There's also a speculative atheism, which is the refusal to believe God as He is revealed in the Scriptures. They don't deny God, but they refuse to believe God as He is revealed in the Scriptures. There are many religious people who are guilty of this. We think specifically of the sovereignty of God. They absolutely refuse to believe God as He is revealed in the Scriptures. That is a form of atheism. And when you do that, when you refuse to believe God as He's revealed in the Scriptures, you always put something in the place of. Again, if there's a denial of the sovereignty of God, what is put in the place? Man. That is a breaking of the first commandment. Those who refuse to believe God as He is revealed in the Scriptures, most of them are guilty of worshiping the idol of their own imaginations. I've even had people tell me, I will not believe a God like you say. I won't believe that. My God isn't like that. That's true, He isn't. Because their God isn't God. They have broken the first commandment. Notice in Psalm 14, and verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now most apply that to out and out denial of God. But it also falls under the form of just refusing to believe God as He's revealed. These individuals are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Notice in Psalm 50 and verse 21, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. This is what people do when they refuse to believe God as He's presented in Scriptures. They believe that God is like them. The truth is, they put God below them. God can't act, God can't do anything unless I give Him permission to do so. That's a breaking of the first commandment. You have put yourself ahead of God. You have put your will ahead of God's will. That is a breaking of the first commandment. Arminianism breaks the first commandment. Breaks the second and third also. But it breaks the first commandment. Notice in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 21 and verse 23. Because that when they knew God, okay, so they're not denying God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Well, when you do that, you put something in His place. And this is that speculative atheism. They can see God as in the Scripture, but they refuse to believe God as He is revealed in the scriptures, so they create a god in their imaginations, and they put that god that they've created with their imagination ahead of God. That is a breaking of the first commandment. Verse 23, and changed, since they glorified him not as God, they changed the glory of God, the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like corruptible man. Made like to corruptible man. So there is this speculative, there is an absolute atheism, flat out denial of God. No one here is guilty of that. There may be some who are guilty of the speculative atheism, that is, a refusal to believe God as He's revealed in Scripture. But there's another form of atheism that is more common than all the other forms. And that is a practical atheism. Not a denial of God in profession. They do not outwardly, they do not verbally deny God. But they act and live as if He did not exist. They act and live as if there were no God. That is a practical form of atheism. And for those individuals that act and live as if there's no God, they put multitude of things ahead of the Lord. And that is a breaking the first commandment. Notice in Titus chapter 1, may I say, this acting and living as if there were no God, that's natural to the depraved man. Titus 1 verse 16, they profess that they know God. Now, atheism is a denial of God. So we read what it says. But in works, they deny Him. That's a form of atheism. That is practical atheism. They profess that they know God, but in works, they deny Him. Practical atheism. Most of God's people would proudly stand and say, I am not guilty of atheism. But all we are. We are guilty many times of practical atheism. We profess, I believe God will supply all of my needs. But then you act as if someone's robbed Him. That's a practical form of atheism. When we fail to pray, that's a practical form of atheism. When we see we have a need and we say, well, God can supply all my need, and then we run to everybody in the country to get their sympathy, well, we've broken the first commandment. We put other things ahead of God. It's a form of practical atheism. So how do we commit this sin? Again, there's many ways, and certainly we can't mention them all. But when people lack a proper frame of spirit suitable to what God has revealed of Himself in His words and works, we're guilty of practical atheism. That is, we deny Him with our lives. We've all, just as Brother Charlie was talking about a few minutes ago, have denied Christ in one form or another. And we deny Him in our works. We deny Him in our speech. Oh, we don't come right out and say, there's no God. But we deny Him in our speech by acting as if God's been dethroned. I mean, people today, Christians, that are living in fear because of what's going to happen. Well, they're living as if God's vacated His throne. That's a form of practical atheism. They deny Him in works. When people do not have any sense of obligation toward God, that is a form of practical atheism. I mean, if you know God, you reverence God, you love God, you have to feel obligated to the Lord. And when people can just do what they please and feel no obligation whatsoever toward God, that's a form of practical atheism. Again, there are people, God works miracles in their lives, and they're aware of those miracles. They're aware. God has worked a miracle in my life. Next Sunday, they're not in church. They're out doing something else. That's practical atheism. Oh, God's done this wonderful thing, and we got a family reunion this week. That's pitiful. It goes on all the time. When people do not trace their blessings to God, that's practical atheism. It's a denial in the way we act. We've denied God. We say, oh, I'm so thankful for my boss. He did such and such, and go on and on and on. You better trace your blessings to the Lord, because that's the source. That's the source. Doesn't mean that we can't be appreciative of what others do, but they wouldn't have done it. We're not God behind it. And you need to go to the right source. Notice in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 17. James 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I believe that means exactly what it says. It all comes from God. And therefore, we need to thank Him. And when we go and we're so grateful, I mean, it's people post all over Facebook and whatever, oh, so-and-so's the greatest person on earth. They've done this and this, this, and this, and this. Not one word about God. That's a breaking of the first commandment. That's a form of practical atheism. When we attribute something to chance, to luck, to fortune, to self, to others, that's a breaking of the first commandment. It's a form of practical atheism. When people fail to worship and adore God, that's a form of practical atheism. I mean, when someone will tell their neighbors that they're a Christian and they're out mowing the grass on Sunday morning when church is going on, they've denied God and works. They've broken the first commandment. Well, I had to cut my grass. Now, you can cut it some other time. You can cut it some other time. Or they're out doing such and such with family when they ought to be in the Lord's house. That's a form of practical atheism. You tell them all you want to. Oh, I love God. They're not ignorant. They're not stupid. People can see. And people, again, these are forms of practical atheism. It is a denial. Titus 1:16, again, it's a denial of God in our works. And really, people who deny God in their works on a consistent basis would be better off not saying anything verbally about the Lord, because they bring opportunity to the enemies of God to blaspheme. When people fail to trust God, again, that is a form of practical atheism. So all of these things are commonplace. And all of these things are in violation of thou shalt have no other gods before me. In each of these instances, there is a putting of something or somebody before or in the place of God. So all forms of atheism are prohibited in this command. Another thing that is prohibited in this command would be profaneness. To profane. We'll pick up here again next week, but to profane is to prostitute to common use that which is sacred. People do it all the time. Old Testament has much to say about profaning. Taking that which is sacred, which is God, and all the things of God, and putting it to common use or prostituting it to common use, that is to profane. God poured His judgment down on several occasions because His people profaned His name, because His people profaned the Sabbath. God poured His judgment down. Again, if you profane, if you take that which is sacred and you just make it common, then you've broken the first command. You've put other things ahead of God. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Hebrews 12, verse 16. Says in verse 15, there's a warning, but in verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. What was Esau's biggest problem? Someone might say, well, he sold his birthright. Yes, he did. That wasn't his biggest problem. That was the result of his biggest problem. His biggest problem was he was a profane person. He was one who profaned things. And therefore, he took that which was sacred, his birthright, and sold it. People do that all the time. They sell the sacred for that which is material. They trade it away for that which is material. Well, I only did it once. Still breaking of the commandment. Well, I did it for a short while. Still a breaking of the commandment. I don't do it all the time. Esau, because he was a profane person, thought lightly of the blessing of God. He thought lightly of the birthright. And because he thought lightly of the birthright, he exchanged it for that which was less. You say, well, Esau made a bad deal. He sure did. And people have made worse. People make these deals all the time. They trade away the blessings of God for the material. That's profanity. And the reason they do that is because profanity is within them. Now, God warned His people not to profane His name, to profane the Sabbath, and He charged Israel with profanity. And we'll look at those verses next week. But again, one of the prohibitions of the first commandment, it prohibits all forms of atheism. It prohibits taking that which is sacred and making it common. Again, over and over in the book of Leviticus, he says that they are to put in difference between the clean and the unclean. That is, you're to recognize what's sacred. Recognize that which is earthly. And you never exchange the two. Because if you do, it's a bad deal. You're going to lose every time. Not only that, it's breaking the first commandment. And any time we break the commandment, the first or whichever one it is, doesn't really matter, it's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. We fall short. We cheat ourselves. And oh, how many people have cheated themselves because they insist on putting other things ahead of God, other people. Again, there doesn't have to be something that's evil that's put ahead of God to make it sin. It's anything. It's anything put ahead of God. Our child. Anything put ahead of God. Our spouse. Anything. It doesn't have to be an evil thing. But anything put ahead of God is breaking the first commandment. And for God's people to say, well, Brother Dan, that's just the world we live in. Yeah, I'm quite aware. That's the world we live in. They break the first commandment every single day, every single moment of their lives, and they think nothing of it. And how sad when God's people fall into the same trap and think nothing of it. Well, I don't have a statue of Mary in my yard. You still break the first commandment. And I go to church when I can. You still break the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's no exceptions. These commands are very, very explicit. And we need to take them seriously. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We do thank you, Lord, for your commands, that they are there to protect us from ourselves, and Lord, they're there for your honor and for your glory, and we thank you for these. We pray, Lord, that you'd teach us, and we pray that you'd be with us now as we worship you. Help us, Lord, to worship you in a way that would bring honor and glory to your name. Pray for the lost, Lord, that you would open their hearts to salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.